Welcome to Torah Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanami Eric Katz, and today we'll be studying Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Aleph 101. This Mizmor starts Le David Mizmor, and we notice straight away we have a new author. In the 17 Parkim of the fourth book, it actually only has three times an author attributed to a Perek. First Moshe, then 10 without a name, and now David. So we assume from there that the first 11 were written by Moshe, and the remaining six were written by David. Now, this continues naturally from the previous psukim, because Moshe Rabbeinu painted for us a picture of what the world would look like in the Messianic era. The king Mashiach is a descendant of David, and in this perek, David rolls out his manifesto of what an ideal king should look like and how he should behave. Additionally, if we go back to our overarching theme of how does mortal, finite man connect with an infinite God, David HaMelech teaches us the very first step is to work on ourselves and our actions. The sages in Gemara Pesachim explain that whenever it says Mizmor LeDavid, first David would sing and then he would achieve the elevated status of Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. But occasionally, David was able to achieve divine inspiration first, and then he would sing. On those prakim, it says, Le David Mizmor. The Alshich, in his commentary on this perek, explains that David wanted to know how to perfect himself so he could reach this level of Ruach HaKodesh. And everything that he writes in this Mizmor is teaching you how to elevate yourself to this point. It's worth noting that the Sefer Mesilat Yesharim, Barav Moshe Chaim Lutzata, brings a Mishnah by Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, where he delineates certain behaviors on how to work on your midot until you can achieve Ruach HaKodesh. And the entire book is peppered with quotes from Tehillim, because the book of Tehillim is very much a roadmap on how to perfect our midot. This Mizmor contains two parts. We have our opening verse, which is the introduction. The first part, from Bet to Dalet, the king describes the characteristics he wants to develop in himself. And the second part, from He to Chet, describes the company that he will keep. Because when we want to perfect our midot, our character traits, part of it is the work we do on ourselves, and part of it is the company we keep. Let's begin. Pasuk Aleph. Le David Mizmor, for David is song. Chesed u'mishpat ashira, kindness and justice I will sing. Lacha Hashem azamera, to you Hashem I will praise. Chesed and mishpat seem like an oxymoron, kindness and justice. So Rashi interprets it that David praises Hashem for the kindness he's experienced in his life and the judgment he's received in his life. Times he was exiled, persecuted, suffering he had in his family, attacks from foreign nations. The good and the bad, he praises Hashem, and indeed the Gemara in Brachot uses this pasuk to teach us that a man is obligated to bless Hashem on the good and on the bad. Chazal in Chagiga tell us that you cannot compare somebody who has repeated his learning 100 times to 101, and the language they use is shone peraka meapamim le shone peraka meapamim ve'echad. So the Be'er Tehillim interprets this homiletically. You can't compare the person from Perek 100 to the person from Perek 101. The person in Perek 100 said Mizmor LeTodah, a song of thanksgiving when things are good. The person in Perek 101 says Chesed u'mishpat ashira, I thank Hashem for good and I thank Hashem for the difficult times. The Ibn Ezra interprets it completely differently. He says, as a king, he expresses gratitude to God for giving him the privilege of ruling his kingdom with kindness and also administrating justice. Because we know, if you administer justice fairly in your kingdom, that is the ultimate kindness. That's how you have a functioning society. The Sforna explains this more to do with the human being and his midot. Chesed is the part inside of ourself that is our Tzelem Elokim, our image of God. God created us for no purpose except kindness. There's nothing we can do back for God, right? So too, human beings have the altruistic ability to do good for other people without expecting anything in return. That is our image of God inside of us. But in addition, God gave us the ability to choose between good and bad. And because we have the ability to choose, we have to face the consequences of our actions. So this is the Mishpat. Chesed, that we have the inborn ability to selflessly do good to others. Mishpat, we have the ability to choose between good and bad, and we face accountability for our actions. Pasuk Bet, Askila, I'll contemplate. Bederach Tamim, what is the way of integrity? Matai Tavoela, when will it come to me? Eshalech Betom Levavi, then I will walk wholeheartedly, Bekerav Beiti, within my home. So, the second pasuk tells us that David wants to work on himself to achieve this level of integrity. And when will he know that he's arrived, that he's achieved it? When it comes so naturally to him that even at home, where no one is looking or seeing, he can act in this manner. It says that the walls of our homes will testify against us after we die, because how we act when no one is looking is the greatest testament to our character. So these first two psukim of this Mizmor of David reflect beautifully what Micha teaches us in Perek Chet, in the 8th chapter. Ma Hashem Doresh Mimcha, what does God want from you? Ki im asot mishpat, but to do justice, va'ahavat chesed, and to love kindness, va'atzneh lechet im elokecha, walk modestly with God. So David is singing chesed or mishpat, and he's also etalech betom levavi bekerav beti. He's walking with integrity in his house, which is modesty. The third pasuk. Lo ashit leneged einai dvar blial, osa satim sonesi loid bakbi. I will not place before my eyes any wicked thing. Wayward actions I despise. It shall not cling to me. So when you place something before your eye, what it means is you think about it. But if you look at this pasuk literally, it tells you how we become habituated to bad things. First, we see things, and the more we see it, the more we become desensitized to it. And then it's no longer abhorrent to us, and then it eventually becomes a part of us. So if you want to stay away from bad behavior, we work backwards. Try your best not to be exposed to it. If you are exposed to it, make it absolutely disgusting and abhorrent. It's something you would never, ever do, and this way it won't stick to you. This is why we have to be so careful with what we watch, with what we read, right? The billboards all around us, these are all having an impact on us whether we want to or not. Step one is to at least be aware of it and at least keep within us that abhorrence of evil. This is terrible. Just because I see it around me doesn't mean that it's okay. Pasuk Dalet. Levavi keshi sur mimeni ra lo eda. A stubborn heart removed from me, I will not know evil. The Al-Sheikh actually takes this as a rhetorical question. He's saying, do you think it's better if I would remove my evil inclination and I should not even desire to do evil? No, because then my mitzvot would have no value. This links us back to the original understanding of Mishpat. I have to have a desire for evil to make the choice to do good. Otherwise, my choice of good has no value. It was just automatic. So then how do I protect myself if I have this desire to do evil and I need that desire so that my good choices have value? How do I protect myself from becoming a bad person? Well, that segues into the next section, which is surrounding yourself with people who will be a good influence and will steer you to correction if you are straying. Pasuk Hey. Miloshni beseter ehu oso atzmis gava einai murechav levav oso laukal. He who slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will cut down. One with haughty eyes and an expansive heart, him I cannot bear. So people in power often have spies and they pay close attention to gossip. They want to identify those who are disloyal to them. Additionally, ambitious and greedy individuals will flatter those in power because they're hoping to get something from the ruler, either money or connections, or they hope the ruler will overlook their crimes. So they specifically look for people in power because those are addicted to flattery, and this creates a symbiotic relationship of evil. David declares he will not listen to Lashon Hara and he will not surround himself with these people. If someone can't come to him with two witnesses in a proper court case, he doesn't want to hear what they have to say. And David is speaking from personal experience, because when Shaul was a king, he had an evil advisor called Doeg who spoke terrible Lashon Hara about David. And because of this, both David and Shaul suffered tremendous damage. Next pasuk. Einai benemne eretz lashevet imadi holech bederech tamim. My eyes are on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks away of wholesome, he shall serve me. Chazal teach us from this pasuk in the Midrash Tanchuma that you should surround yourself by people who will offer you rebuke. Tochacha, rebuke, should actually be constructive feedback. That's a better word. Because people who help us improve our behavior and correct our mistakes bring peace and blessing to our life and to the world. The broader result of this is that people will be open to hearing when they've done wrong, and then they'll change, and misdeeds will be corrected before they can fester and spread, and this creates a positive and righteous environment. So David contrasts his way of rulership to that of most rulers. Other rulers surround themselves with people who flatter them and stroke their ego. He will surround himself with people who will correct him when he makes mistakes and ensure that he follows the right path. The Malbim explains that this is actually talking politically how a king should lead. When it says B'nemnei Aretz, you should surround yourself by people who are dedicated to the land, who will do what's best for the country. Traditionally, kings would surround themselves with people who are loyal to them and who would assist them in plundering the land to get as much wealth as possible. But David's going to do the opposite. He's going to choose people who will do what's best for the country, best for the people, and advise him to make choices that will benefit the people and not his bank account. The Malbim also adds that a king should be very careful with his personal household, because a king is responsible for the actions of people under him. And even if he himself does nothing bad, if somebody in his hire does something bad, it reflects badly on him. Therefore, a king should be careful to hire people who are blameless, good, and righteous. Pasuk Zayin, Lo Yeshev Bekerev Beisi Oseh Remiah. Dover Shakarim, Lo Yikon LeNeged Einai. In my house shall not dwell a worker of deceit. One who tells lies, he shall not remain before my eyes. So in Masilat Yesharim, it cautions us that people should be careful with the people they choose to spend their time with. We're very careful about the food we put in our body. We make sure that it's of the best quality, but we're not as careful about the people we hang out with. And this is wrong, because food that you eat or drink, the worst it'll do is it'll damage your body. But a bad friend or co-workers who are a bad influence on you destroy your soul. They destroy your belongings and they destroy your honor, your reputation. In addition, David teaches us this doesn't only apply to David and his table, but Hashem himself declares that there were four groups of people who will not be allowed to greet Hashem's presence. People who habitually mock, people who habitually lie, people who are flatterers, and people who constantly talk Lashon Hara. At such people, Hashem doesn't want them at his table either. The last pasuk, Labkorim atzmis kol risha aretz lahachris me'ir Hashem kol po'al ha'avim. Every morning I will cut down all the wicked of the land to exorcise from the city of Hashem all evildoers. So Rashi and Radak interprets to me that King David made it his battle on earth to eradicate evil, both in the country of Israel and his neighbors. Targum understands us to be in the future, in the Messianic era, right, in the Labkorim, in the morning of the future, all the wicked will be destroyed. And David vows specifically Me'ir Hashem, right? All over wherever he has influence, he'll make sure there are no evil people, but specifically and especially in Yerushalayim, he will make sure that there are no evil or wicked people. So to sum up, Mizmor 101 serves as a guide for both leaders and individuals who are striving for moral excellence. It advocates for a life characterized by gratitude, integrity, inner purity, and a commitment to justice and kindness. This Mizmor reminds us that the journey towards perfection is ongoing and requires constant vigilance and self-reflection, as well as feedback from those around us. By striving for these virtues in our personal lives and our interactions with others, we contribute to a more righteous and compassionate world, reflecting the vision of David, the ideal king. Thank you for studying Le'ilu Nishmat Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shaarei Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzhak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.